Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel, and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast. So excited to have you along for the ride this evening. Holy cow, it has been forever. And here we are, excited to be back. This, I believe, was episode number 315. Because it was just a little sidetrack at home. We didn't break the count. So just like all the other live shows that we've done in the past, that's going to go into the record book as sort of an offshoot, as a perk, as bonus content. And here we are back and back at it. I've been here since 4:30. And I'm not joking. I had a dentist appointment. I got all shined up for this.
You look beautiful, Chris.
Yeah, here we are. This is very nice to be back.
Yeah, it was weird. We got out of work, and the boys and I went down to the barn, and they were working out, and got to be around 5:30. And I said, "All right, I'm taking off. I'll see you guys." And here I am. I had to use the Google Maps to find my way here. it's been a little while, but it's great to be back. Hopefully people remember us, and they're still listening out there. So. We'll see how it goes. Are you Facebook Live at the moment?
We are Facebook Live.
How awesome is that?
Right now. So Facebook Live is working. That was one of the things that I was trying to make sure that we had up and running efficiently so that we could bring that element back on a consistent basis. So we've got that locked in and everything put together along those lines. The one thing that probably was the most nerve-wracking was it got to be about 5:30 and I had to use the bathroom here. And it took about a half hour to get that room down the hall empty. I don't know what it was going on, but I was still in there at 5:54, and I'm like, I haven't called anybody.
It's funny. I showed up and parked and walked up and went to open the door, and it was locked. And I'm like, man, maybe Chris fired me and didn't tell me. I don't know what the deal is. So I walked around, and the side door is open. So I came up, and I walked in, and you weren't here. And I'm like, man, maybe Chris fired himself. I don't know what the deal
you're
is.
Flying solo. Have fun.
Maybe I'm flying solo. This would be interesting, but – No, it's great to be here. I mean, it's almost like starting over again. I mean,
it was today, man, trying to find the files and remembering how to format stuff. It's been 3 months since I used it. Jim was still here. YouTube's changed. So YouTube, the whole interface for YouTube's different. So he was still here, thankfully, and I was able to ask him the questions and get everything on its feet. I didn't know this going into today, but I thought it was really cool that we're back in the studio and we're talking about all sorts of cool things. And Derby's coming back to Ontario. We're going to be talking with Christy and Devin Germain here in just a minute. But ahead of all that, today was Russ's birthday.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It popped up on my thing, and it hit me kind of hard. I mean, not to sound whatever, but it's just one of those things that it's still hard to believe, you know. And hopefully Russ is up there in heaven riding his Harley and getting ready to oversee some derbies.
Fatty's birthday was just a couple days ago as well.
Yep. So wished him a happy birthday. They all, I believe most of the Smash It crew made the trip to Mayhem because I see they were eating cake off the back of a four-wheeler. So looked like a good time by all.
Fantastic. We're going to get into some of the Mayhem stuff. We're going to get into some of that Mayhem stuff here in a little bit. We're going to Mark Elliott was going to be on. He was going to be on at the beginning, and then he had something with family come up. Totally understand. So He gave me all the talking points. We're going to put that in the middle. We're going to talk to Hunter Wood at the end of the show with some of the news that's relative to Crash Course and some of the stuff that's happening this fall. But before that, we've talked a little bit in our time at home. Ontario is not going to have Demolition Derbies this year. Period.
Crazy.
Everything is off. But with all the conversations that have happened also on the show about fairgrounds being tied to
government,
yeah, for to simplify it, yep, tied to government, racetracks are privately owned. And that's where Christy and Devin come in. with Mad Dog Motorsports has been contacted and at this point is going to be hosting an Invitational Demolition Derby at Humberstone Speedway, the new old Humberstone Speedway, formerly known as Gasport.
Gasport, then Humberstone, then Humberstone, then Gasport.
Back and forth, back. So congratulations, guys. This is a huge deal.
Thank you. It's pretty awesome that we actually have the opportunity that Dave Bittner from Humberstone gave us a call and asked us to come down and meet with him, and we weren't 100% sure why at the beginning, and then we went down and sat with him and Zach, and they basically told us they wanted to put a derby on and asked what it would take on our part to get it done, and the meeting went well, and here we are.
And you said $50,000 American.
Yeah. I wish.
Have you been able to...
It's a little crazy because of all the stuff going on here that everything was canceled. Like, it even on the day that we went to make the announcement that we had struck a deal with Humberstone, all the last of the fairs that we had kind of put our hopes in canceled that day, which kind of made it bittersweet that we were making the announcement, because we held out, hopefully, that at least Bimbrook would be able to run. Mm-hmm. And then Donnybrook also canceled, too. So we were like, that's the last of them, pretty much. I think there's only, one?
There's one left in Ontario that hasn't canceled yet. But even our championship derbies, they're all canceled this year. Wow. There's nothing.
So, you know, I just thought about this, Brian.
Yes, sir.
I have not seen Ron McClung on Facebook in the last several days. And you know how sometimes, like, somebody has an addiction and they're forced to stop cold turkey, they can have all kinds of crazy
bad things,
like,
man.
Yeah, bad things happen, and he can't get across the border to run over here.
And there's nothing no up derbies. There. Yeah.
And somebody needs to check on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll send a message to Caprice, his daughter, and get her to check on him and see.
He's probably cruising around the roundback just having a great summer.
Yeah, I know, no right? He's actually
enjoying being a grandpa. He's a new grandpa.
Nice. That's cool.
I don't think I knew that.
I did. I saw pictures.
His daughter Caprice had a little boy. He's adorable. So he's probably enjoying the grandpa life for a little bit.
Right.
Good for him. And he's probably got 30 cars ready to go, let's be honest.
Right.
Probably.
Yep. Him not running this year single-handedly extended the sport of demolition derby by a calendar year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's how Devin feels. Devin's been building and building and building because obviously we had a whole bunch of stuff. We have a heavy schedule at the beginning of the year for a lot of U.S. derbies, and then a heavy schedule in the fall for Canadian derbies. And it's sad sitting here seeing all these cars that are built that have nowhere to run. And that's kind of because we're stuck on this side of the border and can't make it over. So it's kind of bittersweet. You're sitting here looking at this relic car, this 56 DeSoto sitting there, and we're looking at, you know, all of his Camrys and all that sitting there, and there's nothing at all that we can go and run. And
there's nothing at all. They're sitting there waiting.
And now that we're, like, promoting the only show in Ontario right now, he can't even run that. So
like, you guys are in a little bit of an okay spot with the Camrys and stuff like that, because you guys don't, and correct me if I'm wrong here, my understanding is you guys don't typically do motor swaps and stuff, right? You just run what's in them. You don't have a particular piece that goes in every single car.
No, not really. Like for all the compacts that I run, everything was pretty much stock motor in it. Like, everybody pulls out the V6 Camry motors and puts fours in it. I like the V6s myself, so sure, I leave them in.
That little extra power that, you know, helps with Mad Dog.
Yeah, so, that for sure.
So, that being said, some of these guys, we've joked a bunch of times about how there's not going to be any reason why you're not done.
Yeah.
If you finished a car and you have one setup, or if you only have two setups that you move in and out of cars all summer long, this didn't necessarily help you get ahead of things.
No, because you still got to swap.
Right.
But, you know, if you're running, you know, stock, then it should be golden. Right. I say this in my cars in two-piece. Well,
yeah, it's a lot harder for those guys that run the V8 setups and run the truck setups that require their stuff to get junked in order to move to the next build. So we have a lot of guys that had, like, that have been contacting us since Friday that have cars or trucks that they're trying to, that they've had built for other competitions, and they've ran two or three times, and they really want their LS out of it. They really want their driveline out of it. And they're like, can I bring this truck to your show? Can I bring this car to your show? Because I need to junk it because it's still too good to scrap. So We really tried to kind of take the rules that are in our area and kind of incorporate all of that to some extent to allow those guys to come and run. So.
Sure. Cool.
This is being advertised as an invitational. Is that somehow worded that way in order to side skirt local legislation issues?
Yeah, so essentially how it works right now, because Niagara kind of gets stuck behind a little bit, and we're in phase two of the reopening. Mm-hmm. So phase two allows the dirt tracks to have people or have drivers register to come out and do test and tunes and then register for race night.
Right.
But there's no fans allowed. So
right.
In order to get around that, every driver's allowed to have four pit crew with them, mm-hmm. and they are allowed to come in as the pit crew, and the stands aren't open, but the pits are open.
Right.
So essentially, we have to have a guest list. We have to have a specific guest list. The drivers register, and they have to give us four names of the people that they want on their pit list or their invitation list. And if those people are not on the invitation list, they don't get in at the gate. You have to be on the list or else you're not entered.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. that's kind of how it is down here. Canandaigua, they opened up with the mods, and it's eight. But I know my parents were on my brother's list for opening night at Canandaigua, so they were able to go to that. But I see today.
He's got your dad dumping fuel, probably.
Yeah. he'd be tuning the motor. I see today they're opening up to fans.
And that is not going to happen.
You don't
think
so?
Half hour ago, cease and desist order was levied to Accord Speedway. I've been following that all weekend long.
What about to Canandaigua?
Just stop. I've been horsing around with this for the motorsports column because Friday night I was at Genesee mm-hmm. with Dirt Track Digest TV, and there was some rumblings that a particular track around here had circumvented the laws by offering fine outdoor dining, and all the outdoor seating was the grandstands.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we've heard a little bit of that as well.
So they had fans in the stands. Well, they're not watching the race. They're using our outdoor seating for the dining.
That's awesome.
Well, and the other thing is that one of those tracks is situated on a fairgrounds. And as I understand it, I think the fairgrounds is the one that holds the liquor license. So the person operating the track is pretty much Teflon in the situation. So Friday last, we're going to go over all the stuff on the Final Round podcast when we come back to the studio with that on Thursday. Friday last, Afton Speedway had a ruling from a district court judge that said that the extension of the executive order from June 21 to July 21 could potentially be deemed unconstitutional on a couple different levels. And his ruling on the matter was an immediate injunction on the execution of that law. So, with that said, if that extension is put on hold, the deadline's in the rearview mirror, all the fans coming back. K&M Speedway's bringing fans back. Fonda Speedway's bringing fans back. Afton's trying to bring fans back. Canandaigua was all over it on Sunday. So I'm trying to tiptoe through this because none of this, anywhere, can you find that any legislation was signed off on approving this injunction. So I don't know if it's just like blanket implementation and away we go or not. Because what you're toying not only with the governors, you're toying with the health department, which can then take away your liquor licenses, your food licenses.
Yeah.
It can even take away, because all the tracks have to get a permit written weekly to operate, the village or the entity where the track exists could refuse to issue those permits indefinitely. You could never run again if they really wanted to split hairs. So that's what went down about an hour ago for Afton Speedway. And so everything went to the moon on Sunday, and now it's coming crashing back to Earth, and I guarantee that when they do that giant race later this week, Wednesday night, I guarantee that there's going to be blue cars out in front with badges, and there's going to be folks that work for the blue cars and badges that are wearing plain clothes hanging around the grandstands just to see. This is not over yet. Christy, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, when we were meeting with Dave, him and Zach were on their phones quite a bit following that exact same thing down there, trying to just feel out exactly where it might leave us come August 1st. So it all kind of all depends on what lifts, what doesn't before then. But, yeah, as you mentioned, it is currently to circumvent some sort of policies and guidelines. We do have to have invite only. So you do have to pre-register for our event. If you're not pre-registered, there's no entries day of. So it's basically get in, and we do have maximums because there is maximum number of pit stalls and space,
right.
That sort of thing. So, yeah, if you don't get in, it might be your only opportunity to run a derby this summer, right?
I just think it's so cool that you guys basically won the bid. You know, how many derbies have you guys put on prior to this? You did a couple, didn't you?
We have not put on any as promoters. We've assisted with a bunch, but we haven't put on any as actually officially Mad Dog Motorsports promotions. So it's kind of our first shot at kick at the can, and it's been eye-opening, eh, Devin?
Absolutely.
What'd you learn?
Very overwhelming, the amount of support that we've been getting.
Yeah.
But it's also overwhelming the amount of questions you get as a promoter, and I don't know how some of the people do it every day.
Are you feeling any guilt for the number of times that you played with the rules?
That's the problem, because when I'm a builder and I'm trying to tell people, no, you can't do that, it's like, well, I'm a hypocrite right now, because if I was on the other side, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
That's exactly what you are right now. Yeah.
It's really neat because we tried to make the build because they only have 30 days. So we essentially sat down and we started with a base of rules, and we kind of tried to look at some leeway because, like Devin said, he's a builder. He loves to build. He'd run like Tim Clark's compact heavy build kind of structure all the time if he could. He loved it.
Right.
But here, with only being 30 days, you don't have time to be in the garage welding and welding and welding on cars. So we tried to do it that it was more of a mix between pro and pro stock kind of thing, where mm-hmm. it's easy, but there's some things that you can do to reinforce. And
we allow certain things, like we're allowing hard nosing with 6 inches of plate for every class, because
okay.
we're trying to bring in some of the American rules.
Sure.
That we love.
We want to see kind of come up here and expose the Ontario drivers that don't travel across the border to see what it's all about.
Right.
And then we get comments from people that have never ran in the States, and they're sending us questions saying, so I can cut my frame?
Yeah, like, why would I cut my frame?
So you're getting those people that are not exposed to those sorts of rules and that sort of stuff and that mindset, and they're confused, and so they're asking a lot of questions, and it's really neat to see their reaction to something.
I think you guys are in a good spot kind of serving that role as stewards of the craft, somebody who knows it and familiar with it, instead of somebody just trying to host a show, implementing these rules. Because the job of a promoter is to put on a good show and all this other stuff, but in order to do that effectively, you have to know your audience. You have to know who you're selling the product to, and if it's not something that's palatable to them, they're not gonna come and support it. So by not going full-blown with it and by trying to introduce that a little bit here and there, but it's also rules that you've built to, that you understand inside and out, you know what people are going to try to do once they start learning it, puts you in a good spot because you've got the eyes to know what to look for, and you've got the ability to explain to them how far they can go leading up to the build, and also in tech line. In tech line, you can go through and you can tell them, hey, you know what, now next time when you do this, you can go a little bit further and do this. Probably not all the secrets.
No.
But a handful of them, at least, you know, it'll move them from top 10 to top 5, but you're still going to win, right?
Right. And then the other thing that we brought forward was the junk run. No one up here knows what the junk run is unless you run in the States, right? So we keep getting all these messages from people going, junk run, so is that like at the end of the day, like the San Felipe Cup kind of thing is what people are thinking it is? And we're like, no, you can run an SUV. So I have a CRV. Can I run that? Yeah, you can. I have an Envoy sitting here. Can I run that? Yeah, you can. And you're seeing all these farmers who have farm trucks or field trucks that are all of a sudden going, holy crap, I don't have to scrap this. I can go and run this, like, you know, Toyota, what are they running?
Forerunner?
I asked you about?
Oh, like a Nissan Pathfinder.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, up here, like, they've been making Dakotas run in, like, a full-size truck class, where for us, we put the V6 limit on our junk run.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a V6 Dakota, Like, that's going to run in, because it's definitely not a full size truck by any means. Right. Like, you put a Dakota against a Super Duty, somebody's going to get hurt. But you put a Dakota against a Caravan, chances are a Caravan's going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Durango on the track at the trucks the year that there was like three F-350s that showed up at Seneca County? There's something that was like dwarfed in comparison.
Tim Ellison has run a couple Durangos, I believe. I don't remember if it was the year the big 350s were there or not, but I know he's ran a couple, I believe. But, you know, I got to give – I don't know if I'm right on saying this, but the first place I heard of or saw a junk run was Seneca County, and Kyle Collinsworth had the idea. And I was like – because it was not long after he'd taken over, and he's like, hey, what do you think of this? And I'm like – sounds fun. And I ran a Jeep, old square body Jeep Grand Cherokee with no floors in it. It was great. I made it down to like the top five, and then broke the distributor cap. But and now it's neat. You see it everywhere.
I still have pictures of that.
Probably do. You have a lot of cool stuff. You don't share it with me, but you have it. So, you know, sometime I'll see it. But
when Devin ran the junk run at the RRE show, the year before, and the year before when he ran the junk run, he said it was one of the most fun he's ever had in that heat, because it was so much fun to be out there with guys that had like a Liberty, Jeep Liberty, and
a whole bunch of cars I've just never ran against or seen.
Yeah, right.
Like, when I saw that Liberty pull there, I'm like, I've never seen one of these run. I have to go back to back with it just to see how it is. Man, those Liberties are tough as hell.
Right.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, when they, unfortunately, like everything around here, the junk run isn't as big. Like, the first couple of years they had it, there was between 20 and 30 cars on the track for the junk run. And I mean, there was, you know, the smaller Blazers, there was Jeep Grand Cherokees, there was Rangers, Dakotas, Explorers, the vans. I mean, it was just because you'd never smashed any of that stuff before. Like Devin said, it was a ball. And it was, you know, it was cheap. It was all relatively cheap. So it was fun.
That's how Explorers got
popular.
Exactly,
and it's so plentiful around here, especially because that's the cars that everyone has, like Envoys and all that stuff, and people just scrap them because there's nowhere to run them, or they use them as field trucks. So everyone's been really excited about that. Everyone's been pretty excited about, you know, the V8 class, now that we separated the V8s and the V6s, because up here the V6s are technically full-size.
It's on wheelbase, so like Lumas and all that. They still eat Crown Vicks alive up here.
We've seen Illumina eat a lot of stuff up.
Jerry Ott.
What was that?
Jerry Ott had Illumina. He brought a knife to a gunfight at the
Yates County Fair.
Was it the Cuca Clash? Either way, he brought Illumina, and he was out there with 11 other full size, and he won the thing.
Yeah, and he was driving people. That was an awesome show.
They're very underrated.
Lee and Marty Seeger, when they ran together at San Filippo. I think it was San Filippo.
Two-man extreme class when they won.
Yeah, two-man class. Lee ran down in Burlington and got second, I think, second or fourth.
Yeah, there was a bunch of guys went down there. I guess Mike Osterhout got fifth with his Ford wagon.
Nice.
Lost steering early and ended up getting fifth, so.
Not bad.
A lot of guys went down there.
Where can we find out more information about this derby? Is there a Facebook page? Is it just in the Mad Dog Motorsports group?
Yeah, we just left it in the Mad Dog Motorsports group. All the rules are pinned to the top of the page under announcements. You can click there. There's all the registration information, which starts tonight, 7:30. They can start sending their registrations in. It's first come, first served. And if you get in, good luck, guys. I hope to see. Hopefully we'll have a great turnout.
Facebook's hopping tonight. Everybody's excited to have us back here. If they're tired of looking at my bedroom.
But cool.
There's some discussion about Pep Boys around the country and how some of them have service stations in addition to the parts stores. I only knew them as parts stores.
Yeah, they're not very plentiful in New York.
No. Scott Brown's last day is today. He's listening at work. Perhaps his last day is because on Mondays he's not working. He's looking at his phone, but that
happens.
But he's posted some wicked deals. If you're in Utah, stop by and grab some stuff, because he's got some great sales on there.
Tim Miner's down in Texas, and they're debating back and forth about what they have to offer. And Frankie Guy's in there. Matt Freeze hanging out. Wayne Loft, he saw Ron McClung come up for air and was able to confirm that he was He was doing the granddaddy thing, so that's cool.
Yeah, which, Wayne said the heat index was like 109 in Florida today.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Nope. Duncan Cram checking in. Always good to
That's
hear
not Duncan's real name. Jeremy Gulley had Duncan's real name last night on the draw for the two-man extreme.
He did. I hear he's running in the two-man extreme at that meltdown, and hopefully, which I'm not very optimistic, I don't think the board is going to be open for us to join.
That'll suck.
They just keep pushing it back and back and back. We're losing hope.
Yeah, the border closure is until July 21st right now, and they have done everything in their power to convince the Prime Minister to continue to keep it closed, and it looks like it's going to be closed until September, October.
What's COVID like up there with you guys? How widespread is it through Canada? Like, how bad is it?
It's not at all. Like, we've had maybe 200 cases across all of Canada in the last, 3 days reported? 200
Something
new like cases?
That. Oh, over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So my question is, and I'm going to regret this the minute it comes out of my mouth, but what's your testing protocols like?
You know what, Chris? That's a wonderful question for our fine government officials that none of us are listening to. No, I shouldn't say that. But I don't know. I have no clue. I know that we have testing protocols with my job, and we have testing protocols with a lot of frontline workers. So, but essentially, I don't know what their requirements are for testing outside of that.
There's open test centers if you feel like you want to get tested. Yeah. They have all that. Well, you're more than welcome to go, but who wants to do that?
So there's testing happening if you don't mind having a Q-tip stuffed up through the back half
of
your brain.
Happening.
Yeah. And the thing with the states right now is, you know, most of America shut down when it first hit, except Florida and Texas, who have now turned into hotbeds. Well, every place else has leveled off. Two places are on the decline, Maryland and Connecticut, I believe. Mm-hmm. They've actually started to decline, and we've had the lowest death rate in in the states since March.
Yeah.
But all they talk about is how Florida and Texas are hotbeds. Well, that's because they never shut down. They never had any, you know, they just let them run. Of course it's going to. And I just saw, just before we went on air, I saw a thing on here that
T.J. McCulloch just said, free Canada.
I just saw a thing on Facebook, and I shared it, and it said that in New York City, the disease trackers who go out and talk to people and ask all the questions, they're not allowed to ask anybody they talk to whether or not they were in any of the peaceful protests in New York City.
Yeah. That's interesting. I heard that the Florida stuff, some of the numbers were getting messed with, but I mean, just
you guys wouldn't believe the reports that they scare us with in Canada about the U.S. It's like the reports are constantly being compared to our country. Like, our country's population is close to, you know, New York's population, so it's kind of like it's hard to compare apples to apples. But they keep throwing these comparisons up, and it scares the hell out of everybody because they think the U.S. is just completely, like, riddled with thousands and thousands and thousands upon tens of thousands of cases. And I always say to people, you know, I have probably about 2,000 Americans on my friends list, and not one of them has even announced that they've had COVID or know anyone that does have it. So I don't know.
We've known people. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that I didn't know anybody or anything like that. You know,
yeah.
we're very lucky that we still have Frank Guerrieri with us.
Yeah,
he and his wife.
The big thing, I mean, here it's, you know, the cities are overrun, but like I was, you know, New York City, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but I'm going to make it make sense. New York State is like, I don't know, it covers like 55,000 miles, like total land or something like that. 52,000 of it is upstate New York. So there's 3,000 in New York City, all five boroughs, Long Island. So in the 3,000, you know, miles or whatever it covers, whatever the measurement was, there's 10 million people living. Out of those 10 million people, 200,000 have got COVID. In the rest of the giant state of New York, you know, there's been 10,000 cases. So, you know, the denser the population, the more of a chance. I mean, where Chris and I live, you know, I say it every week, we're blessed. Right now we have 5 active cases.
Yeah.
Total in our entire, and we have 19,000 in our county. So, you know, and over
yeah, We're, same with us out here, like Toronto, Hamilton, that sort of stuff. They're all, their cases are more condensed in that area, where when we're out here in Sherkston, our closest neighbor is a cow. Like, we have nothing around us. Exactly. We have our chickens. So there's nothing, right? So it's kind of, it's hard to compare when you're looking at, like, hotbeds, exactly like you said. So I just, you know, I get why the border's closed. Does it make me happy? No, because I'd love to come down and see you guys, and we have a lot of stuff that we do in the States, but at the same time, I understand why it is, so.
Yep. It's no joke either. Where Christy lives, no. Like, the biggest concern isn't who's going to break into your house. It's what the coyotes are going to do to the screen door. You know those yellow-eyed bastards?
Yeah, the raccoon get in the other day.
Yeah, the raccoon ripped our screen and got in and ate all our chicken food, and we're like, yeah, you're not going to be around much longer.
Right.
Nice. Kind of sounds like where I live. There isn't a whole lot of traffic out there. I kind of like it.
No, I like it too. It's quiet, and then, you know, you can hide your cars in the back a little easier.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But while we were chatting with you, we got another thing that came in, and it looks like Devin and I and our buddy Reg Bonneau, who's a good friend of your show, and Tom Beal at Merrittville Speedway, it looks like we'll be hosting a derby in the fall.
Awesome.
Cool. Hot off the press, guys. Hot off the press.
That's cool. So two now.
Awesome.
You heard it here first.
That's excellent news. I mean, this is...
Who owns Merrittville? Does Pete Becknell and Rainey Williamson still own it, or did they sell it? Do you know?
Don Spieth owns Merrittville.
Okay. Well, I knew Randy and Pete were partners for a while, but they've been trying to sell it, so cool.
Yeah, now, so Don took over.
Now, you know, I don't want to say I'd break the law or anything, but if I can jump on one of those airboats and get across the river, you guys put me in a car in your Merrittville show or what? I mean, I'm ready to go.
Hell yeah. Hey,
we can make something happen.
Hey, by October, who knows? Maybe you'll be allowed to cross over by October.
That would be, I hope so.
I tried to convince Chris to come over for this show on August 1st, but it's not looking too promising.
The thing is, I have no problem going to the show. My concern is I want to be able to get back home.
American citizen, they can't tell you can't come home.
I wouldn't even worry about it. I know some racing guys can get you across the border, no questions asked.
I know them too, and they are efficient.
Yes. That's a good word.
Efficient. Causing crash course into the derby.
There you go.
They want.
So anyway, yeah, so we're ready. We're heading out. Since we're done chatting with you, we're heading over to Dave's, and we're going to sit and check out the list as people come in and register at 7:30. So the registration opens at 7:30 tonight. And
we just want to see the reaction, see how busy it gets right away.
It's going to be busy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's going to be busy. You got.
I'm pretty sure we're going to blow Dave's mind.
you got several hundred friends that are in the same boat with built cars, nowhere to go, and they are waiting for that clock to hit 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're about an hour away from...
The people asking if they could send it early, and we have to say, no, your money's just as green as everybody else's. You have to wait.
That's right.
Just the other thing I was going to mention, too, really quick. I don't know if Jason Dixon's listening and that sort of stuff, but he was scheduled to... He's a promoter for Dresden, the team show that was supposed to run in May, and it got postponed to August.
Okay.
And he was supposed to be having the team show go on in August, and as soon as we had announced that we were having our show here August 1st, and he, I guess, had talked to his partners and all that, and they had made a decision to cancel Dresden because theirs was a multi-show day,
right.
So they couldn't have, like, camping and all that, or sorry, a multi-day show, and
we
they
do.
Couldn't have, like, camping and all that sort of stuff. So he actually reached out to Devin and said, hey, I'm going to announce our cancellation early so that all of our registered guests who were supposed to come and register and run at our show have the opportunity to run at yours.
Awesome.
And I thought that was the most, like, most respectable
stand
thing. Stand up and really appreciate what Jason did, and to, you know, support the Derby community and to support, like, I know it sucks so bad that Dresden wasn't running because we had looked forward to going, but at the same time to have him, you know, announce early so that his group of people that have registered could run our show is, like, unbelievable.
With enough time to make registration and modify your car if need be.
Very good. That's awesome. Yeah. A little off topic. Christy, how are you feeling? You got a new wheel put on this winter. You know, how's that going?
I'm feeling great.
hump plates on. She's good to go.
Now, I always wondered, like, is there a place where, you know, you squirt some oil in there? Or is there, like, a grease zerk to keep it greased? Or, I mean, how do you keep that? It just...
So for those of you who don't know what Brian's talking about and think I'm crazy, I broke my hip in a derby in 2017. The first hit in, I broke it and end up finishing first, so yay me. But then I end up getting a hip replacement in February, and that hip replacement has been phenomenal. Total changed my life completely. It's been amazing to be able to get up and walk around without pain, and now when I come down and do a lot of photography and stuff like that, I won't be like aching and so much pain I want to cry at the end of a show, especially a show like Meltdown or San Filippo or Bash. 3 days of standing on that concrete, it's like crazy when you're taking pictures. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to get to the derby and test it out. But it's been good so far with this aftermarket part.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Well, that is...
Devin tried to convince the surgeon to tell him that I or to tell me that I wasn't allowed to derby anymore, and he says, "Why not? It's better than brand new." So
the titanium is definitely tougher than bone. I'm like, oh damn.
Yeah, titanium. That's good stuff.
Right on. Want to send some well wishes out there.
Yeah, I've got scrap to give him once it, you know, wears out.
Todd Height had to have a major surgery on his collarbone and his shoulder. Really? He's all bruised up and sliced open. He graduated. Congratulations to him, but he's recovering. And
good for him.
There's a little bit of a concern that the hardware is getting rejected because some of it's metal and some of it was like cadaver parts.
Ooh.
So that's what happened with his foot, too, with one of the issues that he had there with that deal. So I'm just hoping that right now it looks like he's got a you know, the epaulette, the braided thing that off, it looks like that.
Ooh.
It's a nasty scar, so we want him to recover quickly. The good news, I was telling you the night, you're not missing anything.
No.
There's nothing going on. Just take your time and you know, try and see some light at the end of the tunnel, and you haven't missed anything yet, so everything should be good.
It really is the best time for this to happen.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So Humberstone Speedway, the home of the it's Derby at the Derby in the Dog Pound at the Dog Pound.
Yeah, Derby at the Dog Pound, Derby in the Dog Pound.
Whatever you like.
You know, as long as you want to be a big dog and come out and...
As long as you're there.
Come on out and have some fun and smash some cars.
Finally, awesome. Ontario's getting two derbies right now. We found out about Merrittville coming up in October. So great news. Mad Dog Motorsports overseeing it. Jump on the Facebook page. You can find all the details. Rules are pinned at the top. Look up Devin. Look up Christy if you've got questions. Guys, congratulations on the good news. I'm real happy for you.
Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate having us on. And we look forward to seeing what's going to happen tonight. So get on and get your all the information for anyone who's looking is at the top of the page on where to send the money. It's going to the track, not to us. So do not send it to me. And I can't wait to put out a driver's list and see what's going on.
Very cool. Well, we're certainly looking forward to it. Good luck, guys. Registration opens at 7:30. Jump online. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye now. Devin and Christy getting ready for Demolition Derby action August the 1st at Humberstone Speedway. So that's very, very cool. We haven't had to do this in a while.
Pay some bills.
This is kind of cool. We've got some stuff to talk about, actually. Keystone Nationals. September the 19th, Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. 10,000 to win Super Stocks plus 1,500 to win Stock Compacts, 700 to win Youth Class. They're paying back the top 10. Pit gates open at 9 in the morning, general admission at 2, Derby's at 6. All the division winners also get a championship belt, and the youth winner, on top of the championship belt, on top of the money, they also get a fully prepared, ready-to-run Derby car. Not bad, huh?
Not bad at all.
That is overseen by Iron City Promotions. You're going to be hearing a lot about them over the next couple months. Again, the date, September the 19th for the Keystone Nationals. IronCityPromos.com is the website for that one. And I was looking at Smash It Demolition Derby's website, SmashItDerby.com. They do have a handful of county fairs that have not canceled. One of them is literally days away. Preble County Fair in Eaton, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time. The plan there, Pro Stock, Street Stock, Compact Street Stocks, Smash It Compacts, and the Power Wheels, the order there. Then they're going to have 8 days before they go to the Stark County Fair in Canton, Ohio, Leaf Class, Smash It Compacts, Mini Trucks, Stock Wire Class, and the Power Wheels. And a number of fairs had canceled in between July 11th and the 25th, so they don't have to do anything again until the 25th of July at Fayette County Fairgrounds. Washington Courthouse, Ohio, 7 o'clock start. Street Stocks, Compact Street Stocks, Smash It Compacts, Pro Stocks, and the Power Wheels. at the Fayette County Fairgrounds, the former home of the Bash for Cash. Bash for Cash still up in the air right now. Not really definite on when that's going to fall. It's crazy. So we'll have to see what happens. Just leave it at that. What has not been affected yet is the 2020 edition of the of Blizzard Bash. Now at the Stormont Vale Event Center in Topeka, Kansas, it's the exact same place. We were talking about it back in the fall. It's been renamed. November the 11th is heat draws. November the 12th, national and qualifying opening rounds. And then November the 13th, round two. Right now the plan for the national qualifying teams. We're going to have to double-check all this stuff, obviously, as things move forward. But Combat and Limited World team heats on November the 14th. All the Team B features, trucks, and Limited World one-and-dones happening on the evening of the 14th. And then the 15th is Championship Sunday. All the Team A mains scheduled for then. So, shifting gears one more time, get back into this swing of things. We talked a little bit about Burlington. A lot of local guys, Troy Bradley from Canandaigua, he made the trip down there. I think I saw that Tim Ellison went, or he was at least asking about a guy that was wearing a Man Up t-shirt. Anyway.
Yeah, he was watching on TV. I think Frank Van Houten went down.
Yes, he did.
Yep. Zach Wessig.
Zach Herman.
Zach Herman, I'm not sure.
Marty and Lee Seeger, I think their camp took five cars. Matt Evans went down there, his first derby, and cool. Ended up getting a Mad Dog, and I think fourth place. And like we said, Lee was second. Tim Miner was in there, jumped in, and let us know definitively that Lee was second place. There was a lot of information flying around this afternoon about all sorts of different things.
250 cars, I believe, was the final count.
Boy, that's a lot.
Yeah. And people were complaining about that. They started at noon, and they were done by 9 or 9:30. That's not very bad for 250 cars.
Doesn't sound bad.
I wouldn't think.
I mean, what do I know? I didn't get everything that I needed to put together. I forgot to for Mark Elliott for ME527 announcing. Jump on there. You can find out more about the Unified Point Series. We got some winners to share with you. Nick King, who works with Iron City Promotions, he won the front-wheel drive two-man team at Metal Mayhem. So they came up with a win. He was driving with John Shipley. Two-man truck class was Ted Kiskaden and Ken Kiskaden, some familiar names from yep. The Pennsylvania circuits. Two-man bone stock team, Dylan Simonton and Cody Kunkel, I believe is what that says. Richard Davis won the rear-wheel drive street stocks. The bone stock rear-wheel drive heat two was Brent Clemens.
Heard of him.
Yep. You're on the camera.
Okay. So I got a kink in my neck. Sorry. I
thought you'd no, I time traveled through some vortex back to your hair banging days.
No, my neck bothers me. Getting old.
I would keep doing derbies then.
Yeah.
Front wheel drive stock class, Austin Whitaker won that one. Bone stock full size, Chris Smith got the win there. And then the Metal Mayhem class, Dave Meyer. West Moonbreak was second. And Michael Kelly was third. Second place was also our Mad Dog winner. West Moonbreak winning the Mad Dog Award in that one. So there's some of the details on that. We got your winners from Metal Mayhem. 180 degrees on the success factor from 2019. The weather, the facility, the tech, the action, everything was outstanding. Great list of drivers. Great list of accolades handed out through the course of the day. So Metal Mayhem, Mark Elliott relaying that it was by all means a success. Dave Meyer, he was the in the only heat that didn't finish in 30 minutes and had to run the consi on his way to winning that. So that's was pretty bad. Cool. Did you catch that deal with the consis? If the consi took more than 30 minutes, everybody left running and had to go to the consi.
Really?
Trying to push the pace on the Mayhem class.
That's awesome.
All the features were packed. They gave out two of the three Instigator $2,000 awards in the feature, which was cool. One of them was Wes Moonbreak, who also earned his feature spot with a heat Instigator. So Wes was on the throttle and got the car to last to get down there to second place. 68 cars. Came for $12,000. Only 48 got a stick. Inspection was on point, and they started the show on time all 3 days. Series updates, Michael Kelly of Corydon, Indiana, who won the Redneck Rumble and got third at Metal Mayhem, is now tied with Andy Burrows from Pennsylvania. And I lost my spot. I scrolled. So I think that covers all of our it doesn't. There was more. Several of the big names qualified, and they've showed interest, so they're going to be continuing to follow the Unified Point Series, which is good. A lot of questions and a lot of information. Good to see the Unified Point shirts kicking around all over the place, and they got a chance to put up the 12-foot banner finally that they got from Jacob Prusman, 448 Designs. There were drivers from four different states coming to Eaton, Ohio, coming up this weekend, the one we just talked about, Smash It, for the Unified Point Series stuff. And those same guys are asking details on Connersville, Indiana, the following day. So they're going to go to Ohio and then back. So those guys are looking to follow along in pretty thorough force right there. So that's pretty cool. There's your update on Mayhem and all the stuff from Mark Elliott online, ME527 announcing. So we're going to get Hunter Wood on the line. We got some stuff to talk about with Hunter. Hunter goes by the handle American Beans. You've seen him show up a couple times on our page when we're sharing different live streams. He's a Walton guy, Delaware County. So he knows that Mopars are good and cars that hit are good, you know?
Absolutely. That's how things go down there.
So we've got...
How's it going?
It'll be better once I get you plugged into the headset. There we go. Can you hear us now?
Yep.
All right, perfect. So Hunter has been very busy streaming. He streams all sorts of gaming stuff. I mean, he does farm sim stuff, does some of the shooter games, but he's been our paths crossed a little bit more directly regarding the video game derby, the Realistic Derby Project. We had Jesse Myers and Lee Seeger on, I think it was our first home show.
One of them, yeah.
It was early. And the Realistic Derby Project has continued to gain more and more momentum. Now there's a 76 Olds four-door, little 98, nice. Which is cool. They're still doing some refining on that, and it's a monster. And they released a 1976 New Yorker.
Nice.
And now there's the trucks are in beta testing. So there's some pictures of trucks that are starting to crop up all over the place.
Cool.
And Hunter's got the ability... he's got dynamite internet, got a dynamite system and everything, so he can have 17 people on track at one time.
That's cool.
Which is pretty wild. I mean, you get out there with 17 other people, and there's a big team show, Bone Stock Rules, coming up on Wednesday. And he and I got to talking, and some other circles and overlapping. We were trying to figure out, because we like to try to do something every year for Crash Course's anniversary, whether it's a special focus show, extra guests. We've done something. And we've always talked about how cool it would be to put on a derby. Remember when we were talking about the New Year's Eve party, trying to have one that day and the New Year's Eve party that night, but the village only has so many different permits to give out for motorsports events. It's only three. And with the snowfall that we get, it just wasn't going to happen. But I can't rent out of fairgrounds. I don't have a way to get insurance. But our seventh anniversary is in September, and it's after Kings of Old School, and hopefully it's after the Bash for Cash, and it's after Keystone Nationals. So... And talking with Hunter, we're going to be doing a two-day online demolition derby.
Cool.
The Crash Course Nationals are coming up September 25th and 26th. It's a Friday and a Saturday. The main class is going to have 40 cars, and we'll have four heats the first day. And we're still working on the final details of a special team heat that's going to be the main event for Friday. Then two consies, a standalone shocker only heat, a standalone weld heat, and then the feature. And we've got support from Smash It. We've got support from Keystone Nationals and Iron City Promotions. And there's very serious conversations happening with Kings of Old School also coming on board to help make this possible. So cool. It is just crazy right now, the fact that this online video game thing has taken off the way that it has. And Hunter's built a track. I mean, I can't thank you enough for helping make this thing possible, man. And I don't know if you ever thought that it was going to take off like this, but it certainly does seem like that RDP project has exploded.
Yeah, I never imagined that I would get this far and be this involved with it at this point. Jesse has done an amazing job with the mod itself, making the cars and getting everything to where it is now for us. And I think it's going to be... a fun thing for everybody here coming up soon. The more people get involved, the more fun we have, and the bigger it can get.
The cat's out of the bag. Hunter and I have talked a number of times, and Hunter has a great mind when it comes to demolition derby. He thinks about things the right way, and then you start pairing that stuff with how to manage the computers and the flow that he's got with the events that he's hosting to test and practice and stuff like that. He's got a very good reputation going for himself right now, and cool. And I am really, really excited about this.
So this means I'm going to come down and sit outside of your house and use your computer for your
Well, what I was thinking, Jesse's, I don't think that I'm – I hope nobody's taking this wrong. I am not in any way ignoring Jesse Meyer. I have nothing but good things to say about Jesse Meyer, and I've had some great conversations with him. There was something caught me out of the corner of my eye in a live chat. I just wanted to make sure that so nobody was taking this stuff wrong. By the time we get to September, hopefully we'll be opened up enough to where I can judge on my computer and you could be able to run, but you'd have to get signed up because nobody rides for free.
Absolutely.
So you take care of all that for me.
Yes.
I just got to show up with my helmet and
you
got
to show up with your helmet. That's it. I'll Sweet. Have the car built. I'll have the orange and black skin on it and everything.
Nice. I like that. Now, no pressure.
I have the piece of a little bald guy in the car for him.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
What were you going to say?
I just, you know, if you build me a car, it's got to be tough because you know how I drive.
Yes. I actually am more worried about making sure that the controller's tough because I know how your paw hands are going to try and crush the thing.
Try not to.
You've been streaming for quite some time, and you were doing it on Twitch for a while, and now you're starting to transition over to Facebook on the American Beans page. What's the traffic like on some of these derbies that you're streaming?
I just recently made the transition to Facebook because it's a little more accessible to the Derby people. Not very many people know what Twitch is. It's more of a video game streaming website where most of us are already all on Facebook and have the internet, so we know about that. And since the first stream I did on Twitch, I had about 40 people. But consistently, every night since I've moved to Facebook, it's been an even 20 to 30 people for most of the night, and it's just been great. I went from about 60 followers before I started on Facebook to up over 120 in two streams. So it's been great support, great everything. People are starting to see it more. And I know there's a couple other guys doing it as well, and I just hope everybody can get their chance to watch or even join in if they've got a computer and controller and want to have some fun.
Brandon Raymer, who was at Mayhem this weekend, he streams like crazy. He does all that stuff. Vito, I can't remember the number of the car, but yeah, he goes by the nickname Vito.
324.
Vito 324. And he's on Facebook and he's on Twitch, and he streamed Annihilation in Amherst, which was an event that was hosted by COG Live. That's the nickname of Nick Metzger. Nick Metzger is of the Sandusky area Metzgers, who are tight with Scott Drevenak, and they were all pitted together when Rick Clark came down to run Sandusky, mm-hmm. Erie County Fair there.
Yep.
So those guys are all intertwined. The big team show that's Wednesday is coming up. That's Bone Stock. That's another one of the Nate Metzger's events, the COG Live rule book. But it's been really awesome to just see how fast and how extensive it's grown. BeamNG.drive is what you need. That's, you know, steam.com. Download that, and then you got to download a couple other programs. Parsec is one that you need, parsecgaming.com, and you'll want to have a Discord account. But any number of nights, you can cruise through all the Discord channels where people have made up their little clubs, and there's derbies every night of the week, and sometimes there are two and three of them happening at the same time. David LeJewett, Kool-Aid, he made Kool-Aid's Playhouse. He's got a group now, and he's hosting, and cool. it is so cool. Clarky19X, we've done some skins for him and stuff. He's on. He's always looking for shows. So I'm hoping this is a way to bring, because these sometimes different people get a little bit too loud, a little bit too mouthy, a little bit too passionate about their video games, and they forget that it's a video game, and they get themselves in hot trouble, hot water, a little bit of trouble with the host, and they get banned and stuff. So we're going to have our own Crash Course server for this, and we've already got it all built and everything, and I want to fine tune a couple little pieces before we put it out there publicly, but it'll probably be out tonight. So that way, if you're banned other places, you can still come. But I'm not putting up with any baloney. It's going to be
Short-leash.
It's going to be a pretty tight ship. But hopefully that'll be able to get around that way. Hosts of other places that have bands in place, they don't have to change what they're doing, and we can make this really cross all of the different groups with Chris717 and Sir Leroy, Justin Hatch out in Kentucky and all these different groups. I think it's going to help make everything smaller, just like we did with the live streaming on the
full size
and the full size stuff that
cool.
And we can pair it and use Crash Course to make things a little bit better. But I mean, we wouldn't be where we are without the input. RDP, Realistic Derby Project, is a mod for the game that Jesse Myers has built, and they continue to do research, and Corey Beal's active with that, and Vito's active with it. A bunch of those guys came and ran the Annihilation show a a couple weeks ago, which was cool to see. I'm really excited for it. And Hunter, I got to tell you again how awesome that track came out.
I think we had a lot of fun with it last night. It's a little bit different, the different viewing angle for sure, but I think everybody got used to it, and most everybody enjoyed it, and so a perfect size, I think. It's fast and hard, and the walls hurt. They don't get too close to them. But.
Dirt track or asphalt?
It is actually, it looks like dirt, but to keep the dust down in the game for viewer experience, it's a rock base. Solid rock.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So he took a track, it's a road course that existed in the game, mm-hmm. and there's this area between the track and the grandstands, and there's these tents around the outside, and there's these huge covered grandstands, and there's porta-johns, and there's a telehandler up in the air, like where a camera would be, and there's a flag stand for the... It's an outstanding track, and that's the one that's going to be used in September when we do the Crash Course Nationals. And I see the live chats just blown up. Greeny's in there, Nick Embry's in there, Tim Miner, he's all over it. These guys are sharing links like crazy about where you can find more information in terms of getting involved in the game. If you have questions, by all means, reach out. I'm happy to help you. Happy to help anybody. I just finished up skins for Beans here. He's going to be teaming with Justin Armstrong.
Cool.
Jeremy Armstrong. I'm sorry, Jay
Armstrong. Jeremy Armstrong. Yeah, we're going to run on Wednesday night over in COG server and see what we can do in the two-man team show.
We all have to congratulate Chris Marquardt. He was a part of a winning team last week, his first ever Derby win. How did it feel?
It was pretty cool.
Is there anybody you'd like to thank, you know, with the big team win?
Yes, Cody Stotts, because he's a far better driver than me.
Cool. Well, that happens. There's.
I'm sorry. I can't believe I did that. Cody Raitz. Cody Stotts is another guy that we've been talking about. Cody Raitz and I have run a bunch of team shows together now. We're going to be teamed up again on Wednesday. I went from Nat Derby that night, the team show, and I went and ran Bone Stocks, and I won. Everybody's just driving like assholes, but my other car was the last one running. And then a couple nights later, I went to Leroy's server with limited well cars, and I won there.
Wow, three in a week.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
That's like a Bobby Whitaker week. What's it like to win like Bobby Whitaker?
I didn't bother playing since.
Always quote your head, man.
Yep.
Chris has been doing pretty good on my track, too, and he's getting closer to the win over on my server.
He's got to stop getting stuck.
Just bad luck sometimes.
I'm telling you, I've told my – it's funny because when we were talking about this, when we were at our houses – the family would be obviously like you, the family would be around and they'd hear us talking. And I get, we get the first night we talked about this, Zach's like, Dad, is it on this whatever? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know that? He's like, oh, I've been on there before and da 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 da. I'm like, how? Because they do, right. Since the school's been going, has been not going on, they've been Fortnite until 4 o'clock in the morning. Sure. So they know all about it. And it was neat. Like he knew, some of the stuff. And,
Look at that. Common ground with your boy.
Oh, we got to say it. Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know what's going to be awesome about this? He said, what's that? I said, I'm going to run a full weld mod car and I'm not going to hurt afterwards. I can't wait to do it, man. I'm going to put like 713s in it for gears and just run it wide open and just
be awesome. I built a car for Fatty. Mm-hmm. And I was controlling his computer, and I built it in front of him. He could see it and everything like that. And when we put his car together, I said, so what do you want for gears? And he goes, what's the highest that it'll go? And it was I think it was in the sixes. And then I said,
it's a 6.0 gear.
Yeah, you wanted – so after that, we put an adjustable ECU in it so you can change where it's an MSD box. Yeah. Cuts the throttle.
Yeah.
And he goes, just crank that up as high as it goes, like 6,800.
The small block shadows will turn.
He goes, yeah, that's what. He's trying to get a car together for July 17th. He's got a derby. He's got to go run. So I don't think we're going to see him Wednesday. Wow. But still,
that's cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, just talking to you, and by talking, I mean texting because nobody talks on the phones anymore. This is the first time we've actually spoke other than on the phones. I see your excitement and the other people's excitement. I can't wait to do it. I watched a little bit. I've said it before, our internet is terrible at the house. So what I see on my phone. So, but it does. It looks amazing.
Can you watch video on your internet?
Yeah.
You might have enough internet. You wouldn't be. You might not be able to play. You wouldn't be able to host, but you might have enough to where you could join through a Parsec. You might be able to.
Yeah, probably not. Because, well, what it is like each of our, because we'll talk off air. It's boring to all the people, but so I can't wait. It sounds awesome. You know, it's great. We got so many people jumping up to help it celebrate. It's 7 years.
7 years. Yep. And whew. 7 years, we finally get to almost do a derby.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Good for us.
I was talking with, I can't remember who I was talking to about, we ended up getting on the topic of doing a derby. And I told them a little bit about this plan. And they're like, so have you ever even done a derby? I said, I've ridden passenger in one derby with Jeremy Gulley, which is still the best decision I've ever made.
Get the scars to prove it.
And we actually did a derby. We put one on at Black Rock back in 2005. I tell you, I found the rules. The leftover copies of the rules were in my garage. I still had them.
There wasn't many rules. It was kind of an open build.
It was interesting. That's for sure.
It was a good time.
The Snyders.
Yep.
And now almost all of those guys that oversaw that with us are gone.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. But, I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was fun. It was a good day.
Hunter, how'd you get hooked up into derby anyway? I mean, you live in one of the meccas for it.
I live in the mecca world in Delaware County of derbying here. We've got the Walton Fair, and my family, my dad ran when I was younger and when he was younger, along with my uncle, and it's just been a family thing ever since, really. I turned 16 and hopped in my first car, went down to Walton and won my heat, and then I decided to take my other cousin's car out into the feature. Bad idea. And I've just been hooked on it.
Do you know Tammy Wood?
Money and time spent, but it's worth it.
I was just thinking, do you know Tammy Wood?
Tammy Wood.
Yeah. Maybe not. She's from down that way.
Maybe not, I don't know.
She's from down that way, and she's my boss at the school.
Oh, really?
So I was wondering if maybe there was like an aunt or something like that.
Cool.
It just occurred to me. That's a complete stream of consciousness, and we are live. who did you grow up watching down there? Besides your dad, obviously.
I grew up watching Ricky Englehart,
yes.
The Beers Boys, Big Mike, Dawson, and Michael. Mm-hmm. Just about any big name that's come out of Walton, I've seen them run and watched them for years. And I've spent more time watching derbies than I have running, of course. And I treat watching derbies as kind of like a study in what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. And learn from it. It's kind of hard, but then I get in the car and I black out and just put my foot to the floor. So,
yeah, I know that feeling. So you've probably seen a couple of hippies paint jobs down there.
Yes, I know Brian Hippie, and he does amazing work too. And
yeah,
just absolutely amazing. And now he's doing cornhole boards too for some people, and nice. They just are coming out great.
Cool.
So, I mean, growing up down there. You said that you watched more derbies than you've been able to drive in so far, and with your work schedule, it doesn't appear that it's getting any easier at this point. But I do want to ask what's in your SIG picture on Facebook?
And my profile picture is my 65 New Yorker driver, and my wife and my daughter.
Very cool.
Yeah,
can't beat that.
I find myself staring at that.
I'd rather put money into the driver at this point because I can drive it more than once. But yep. I've got two cars that I'm still working on slowly. I've got a 76 Nova with a 440 in it that I'm going to run again. And a Fifth Ave that I got to build yet. But it's looking like maybe San Filippo with the Nova, maybe next year. Hard to tell this year.
Cool.
All in time. Well, Jeff, how did you get the nickname American Beans?
It's something I came up with probably when I was about 12 playing on Xbox, and I've just stuck with it since.
Interesting.
Well,
it's different.
it's got some legs right now, and I'm very fortunate that you're willing to help choreograph the dance that we're looking to do. The Crash Course Nationals happening in the virtual world at the end of September this year with backing from Smash It Demolition Derbies and Iron City Promotions. Smash It was an accident. I got talking to Tim, actually, following up about his county fair schedule, because I knew we were coming back in here. We had to get our calendar stuff put together. If there was anything major on the horizon, announcement-wise, relating to Bash for Cash. And then I asked him, I said, so if you heard anything more, is there any more derbies that you're doing online or whatever? And he said, you know, we touched on that. And then he said that his boy and Fatty are crazy into it. So we got talking with Fatty, and we did Fatty a Smash It skin. And I asked him if he's into it, is he running this coming Friday? About that was back when Annihilation was coming up in the week. And he goes, there's one this Friday. What's it take to get my name on it? So I told him, I mean, we've had a relationship with them for 6 years. And you know, so I thought it was really cool. I told him about the idea for the 7th anniversary thing. And he goes, well, what's it going to take to get my name on it? And I was really worried, you know, because there's been some tension, you know, some cautious trust between everybody. And I don't want to damage relationships or anything with RDP or anything like that. So we talked a little bit, and he goes, you know me. Smash It needs to be everywhere all the time, out in front. So one's not related to the other. If we got something going with them, it's going to keep going with them, but we want to keep stuff going with you too. So that was cool. That was very kind to hear, and we relayed that. So hopefully RDP knows that's genuine, and we want to keep everybody working together, you know.
Cool.
It's been
– how to grow.
I'm really excited, and I hope more people get into it. You know, there's more and more names popping up on the – there's a bunch of Facebook pages that are dedicated to it. There's more new names asking questions and stuff, and – I think it's going to be fun. 40 cars registration is going to open up July the 6th. It'll be Monday after the 4th of July, and we'll see how fast it fills. It's only awesome. $10 to run.
Pretty cool.
Kind of silly not to. Well, Beans, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. Is there anything else that I missed or that we should hit on in terms of getting people hooked up and playing online?
Other than any interest in running, get a hold of Chris or myself, and he can get you in contact with me, and we'll get you set up, and I like to help people get started, and we'll see if you can do it. And if you want to run, and you can run, and you're all tested, come on by on the 6th and sign up, please.
Awesome. I sure do appreciate you coming on and hanging out and sharing the airwaves as we broke the news. I appreciate it, man. Well, I'm sure we'll talk tonight.
Yeah, I will probably catch you later.
I'm sure. I'll see you later, man. Thanks for coming on. What's that? What was that?
Thanks for having me on, and have a good night.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot. I'll catch you later.
Have a good one.
There goes Hunter Wood, American Beans. I think there's at least two different derbies happening tonight. One of them is Bone Stocks at 8 o'clock because they got the rules today for the Bone Stock team show, and everybody wants to build them and test them and see what they got to do.
So are you running both of them tonight? Or
I don't know. I don't know yet. I'd like to.
You can build this bone stock car in like 2 minutes, can't
you? Oh, I already sent my car in.
You are Chris.
My car's already – not only is my car already in for Wednesday, it's also to the guys hosting tonight. Marty Seeger. Marty's been on the show. Yeah. He hosts a bunch too.
What'd you build for the bone stock?
Wagon.
Nice. Can you notch it?
Oh, my gosh. So I'm so glad you asked that. You can't notch those yet. You don't need to. They've been pretty nice on their own. Nice. You gotta get one good hard hit with the back to start it, and then it's fine. You have to worry about it. But they've added something to the Oldsmobile where you can dimple it 10 inches from the shock or 7 inches from the shock. You can put a dimple in the behind the shock or not, or you can put a notch 7 inches from the shock or 10 inches from the shock. So you can run it with a dimple and a notch. You can run it without a dimple and a notch. You can run it with two dimples. It's crazy, you know?
That is awesome.
And I did the right thing. As soon as I opened up that page, I called Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, geez. He doesn't do bad building those. Mark Siopas, the last time he ran Bash for Cash with a GM before they allowed the Imperials again, he brought an Oldsmobile, and he was in the top 10 with that. Lost steering early, had a battle with the Bronze, but he was like 6th or 7th, so tough.
Somebody was asking about how he did, and I know we talked about it before the show.
Oh, for MLBAM, 6th, he lost the tie rod, wasn't happy with 6th, but I just guess it was funny because Steve and I have talked back and forth, and you know, he's been spending a lot of time in Florida with Pittsburgh shut down and everything, and So they said, oh, here's Steve Saupa's wagon getting ready to go through inspection. And I'm like, dude, did you just board? He's like, I got the itch. So they got a wagon thrown together. And I guess it's good when you got a, you know, a small collection of GM wagons that, you know, you decide to build one and go to Metal Mayhem. So went out there. He wasn't real happy with sixth. But, you know, it was cool that they went out there.
Hunter forgot to add, American Beans forgot to add, that you can get hurt playing the online Demolition Derby. He pulled a muscle picking up his controller the other day.
He's younger than I am, so I should really take it easier.
Yeah, you gotta, you, game, gotta, so. You gotta bend the knees.
Bend at the
lift
knees.
Lift your legs.
Yeah, squat, lift the legs. I got it. I'm good.
Yep. Well, what do you think? Was it a successful return to the studio?
It was. That was a quick hour and 15 minutes.
And you know what? It is getting hot as hell in here.
Yeah, wasn't there an AC on when we started?
We had to shut them off, otherwise it bleeds through the microphones.
Oh,
it
gets too loud. It'd be cooler. It would smell bad.
Well, it's not good. It's
I can see the sweat on your forehead from here.
That light right there gets
right?
So hot.
Nice.
Especially when it's warm like this. And in the middle of summer when we come in, because this show is at 6, so I get here about 5 or so on a regular night. After the sun has beat on this building, you can feel the heat radiating through the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm sitting over here, it's mm-hmm. nuts. It is.
Dude,
it is
there bombs going off outside? I keep hearing these
big
bangs.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's.
Or
it's
this building's fallout center.
It is. This was identified as a fallout shelter when it was built back in the, I think it was the 40s.
And I think you just have to tuck under a desk and it'll protect you from the atomic
yep,
bomb.
It's fine. That's all you got to do. It'll melt you to the floor, but.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't feel it.
No.
Happen
you
quick.
Know.
But, yeah, so Derby and, you know, and all the other states seems
we are
to be
inching closer and closer.
Picking up. I talked to Jeremy Gulley. Otsego has not canceled anything yet. As of, I don't know, over the weekend, I talked with Jeremy. And he said everything's still a go.
They added more classes.
Yeah, they added more classes on the second set. I think the two man extreme is. That's solely for second day. I don't know. I don't want to.
Economy V8s.
I don't. Yeah, Economy V8s. And I think Economy
spinning wheels.
Trucks.
Economy trucks, and then there's a V8 class.
Yeah, so it's like a street stock V8 class or something like that. So all pay the same as the day before. So check out spinningwheels.com. Get your need. Unfortunately, Coos had to cancel their show in
August.
Yes. Where was it?
Cobleskill.
Unfortunately, I just saw that. They are still planning on having the big King's Old School show at Hemlock.
Yep.
So hopefully there'll be a great turnout for that. with everything that's going on at Waterloo and the lights falling down because they got them put in by a shitty company, all varsity football games, home games, are on Saturdays this year.
Okay.
So that kind of puts a damper in any much derby I had.
Sounds like Saturday afternoons.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Kind of puts a damper on derby.
No night games.
Yeah.
But they're going to play.
They are going to play. God willing.
There was a conversation. Section 5 was talking about the head socks, the you know, that athletic material, the polyester, the head socks, which would serve as a facial covering, so they could get back into playing. I don't know.
I think that would cause heat stroke.
I don't think it's a great idea.
I think,
but I mean, it's if that's the difference between playing and not playing, just keep some garden hoses close.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the doctor and the political stuff, but I don't understand how New York State is being held hostage by New York City. You know, they're talking about, you know, I believe it was Connecticut and Maryland, or Connecticut and New Hampshire, have already said school is opening up in the fall. Cuomo says, I don't know when we're going to open up. Well, what about all the families who's got both parents back to work now?
Right.
How are they going to be homeschooled?
There's going to be a lot to.
I mean, obviously, you and your wife both work in the education field, so you know you guys.
I start college August 31st.
Wow. Do I do a keg stand for old time's sake?
No, no.
Chuck a bottle or something. Just no. You know.
I look at all the people that have gone to college, and I think, if they can do it, I could do it too.
Absolutely. Well, you've done it once. This is just
I know.
Back
that's the part that I'm really not a fan of. Yeah. I know the busy work and the papers and all the other nonsense that comes with it, but when we're done, I'll be a teacher.
You'll be a master.
I'll have a master, so I'll be able to shape small minds.
I'm going to leave that one alone. Leave that right alone, buddy. Kindler, gentler, Brian Tompkins.
Yep. All right, everybody. That's going to do it. We've been here long enough, and I'm afraid if we cracked an egg on the desk right now, it would probably fry. That's going to do it for us here. We appreciate it. We're back to the studio. We're going to be back again here next Monday. Looking forward to it. And then tune in Thursday. We're going to be back with more Final Round Drag Racing Podcast. They're back on the air on Thursday. We'll see you then. Whoops. I made it most of the show without a mistake. And I started with the intro. Have a good night, guys. We'll see you.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.